This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A great walk-off win capped by the Andrew Knapp single was a great way to send off this team to Colorado as they enter this three-game series in Denver. I thought it would be a good time to talk to the kid. One of the M&M boys, as Joe Girardi likes to call him. Nick Maton is going to join me right here on Pine Tar for Breakfast.
In the air to left field. Going back on it. It is gone! Kevin Franzen sends everybody home.
Ball's in.
Coming down. What up, and welcome to another episode of Pine Tar for Breakfast. I'm your host, Kevin Franzen, at Kevin Franzen on Twitter, and third wheel, the roadmaster of the broadcast on the radio side with Scott Fransky, our play-by-play guy, and Larry Anderson, who just decides to take off road trips these days. It's all good, because yesterday, the Phillies walked off the Giants. Andrew Knapp, a Pine Tar for Breakfast podcaster guest with me. What a nay. And there's so many things that you could say. And I take a deep breath in saying that because it is a first month of the season. There's been so many highs, so many lows, and you're just going, oh man, not all year. And it won't. It will even out at some point. This team will find its identity, it'll find its health. I think, when you go into a new series after Aaron Nola's 2-0 complete game shutout, the first of his career, 9-inning shutout, I think we have to understand that what happened as far as the protocols and a couple guys going on the list, a couple coaches going on the list, Didi being hurt, you know, there's got to be some things that are sustained, and the energy level we saw was so much better, and even in the losses was so much better. The 10-6 loss, that, you know, having the 4-0 lead, there's so many good things that happened. There's obviously so many bad things, but at the same time, this team was able to capitalize the next day, and I think that is a huge sign. There's so many times that we see the response being so snowball effect into the negative, but what it takes sometimes is some added energy. And I think what Nick Maton and Mickey Moniak have started to show that, you know, right away they can play at this level. It's taken Mickey a couple games to get things going, but oh well, great. Takes a lot of guys. You want, I think, because of how slow the center field position has been, and as far as getting offensive, you know, going offensively, we were just hoping Mickey would come up right away and just be lights out. It's not going to happen like that. So it's a patience thing, and showing the patience, giving the opportunities to. I think Mickey responded, obviously, base hit on Tuesday, and gets an opportunity in his first at bat with runners on base and hits his first big league homer. But the guy that was the surprise was Nick Maton. It wasn't a surprise to me. I mean, like, I say that because I mean, this is a guy that I was like, yeah, whatever, on during spring training a couple of years ago. To now, this spring training, going like, who is that? Because he looks different. He put on a lot more weight. He could handle the positions. He was physical at the plate, but it wasn't that. It was just like the confidence that he showed that I was like, this guy's going to be a dude, and I'm pumped that he is here. And again, like I said, it was a surprise to all of us because we didn't know that Didi was going down. I had asked for this guy at the beginning of the year based on what he had done at the I would say the entire spring training. Nick Maton. Nick, what's up, dude?
Nothing much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to have you on here. Number one, you're a rookie. Number two, first rookie to ever make me wait, so, and dictate the time. It's all good. I appreciate you. I'm kidding. You know, you get this opportunity. I think last year, being at the alternate site, it was on the radar. I mean, that does that make kind of sense? Is that accurate? I mean, for you, like, it, being in the big leagues was very real then.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with the alternate site was we were day in and day out facing people who were ready for the big leagues, if not have been in the big leagues for some time. So I think that kind of made me realize that it's a step, like it's almost coming close.
Yeah. But
yeah, for sure. The alternate site was a big stepping stone for me.
Well, I mean, see, the way I look at it, I'd seen you the last couple spring trainings, and I was like, yeah, he's not ready yet, but there's something there. And this is just being honest with you on it. This year you came in, and I'm like, who the hell is this? Guy's gotten bigger? And it was just, there was something about a couple of your first takes in the batter's box. They were confident. They were, you know, you were just ready and you were locked in. And then the bat came through the zone and it was like, damn. All right. He's here. He's ready to go. Would that be accurate for you? Not saying that you didn't believe in yourself in those other spring trainings. That's not what I'm saying. Is like, but this year was so different for you coming into spring training.
Yeah. I feel like confidence is a big thing. Like you said, I mean, when you're playing with some confidence, the game just comes a lot easier and it comes a lot slower to you as well.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as taking, like you said, I worked on that a lot this off season, seeing spin and working on that. And that helped me out a lot because I knew I was going to see a lot when I got up here. But yeah, another thing was the size. I mean, I got a little bigger this off season. I was a little too small, like frame wise, to be able to like compete with these guys, I think, last year. But then this year, I feel like I came in a lot more prepared and ready to go. And I feel like it's worked out.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just seeing you at the plate, it's just, you're a man. And you're 6'2", so you're bound to get some weight on you on this one. And it's just like when I look at you and I know a little bit about your story, you can rake, you can field it at any position, and you got an attitude. The reason why I love Larry Boa, and he's one of my favorite human beings alive, one of my favorite baseball people to be around. And he and I clicked from day one since I met him years ago, playing underneath him and working with him. He told me that I would love you. And so I was like, whatever you say, I'll follow, you know, Bo. And sure enough, I mean, everything that you do and the way I approach watching games, you know, whether it's spring training or not, I like guys that, you know, could play a bunch of different positions, that battle, that grind it out. But your experience with Larry Boa, how would you explain it?
Well, I feel like from day one, he's always had his finger on me a little bit. I mean, like it was in 2020 spring training. I was eating lunch and he was yelling around asking where I was. And he said I was supposed to be out on the field. And I was never told I was supposed to be on the field. So he yanked me out like mid meal to get out there to take ground balls. But that's just been, he's been on me since day one. And it's a good thing, man. He loves to work and it's a good guy to have on your side. And I mean, he's helped me out a lot.
Will you ever have Larry Boa carry your like bag or your glove out to the field just to do it? Just be like, just to, that right there, you're talking a little trash to him. I wonder what his reaction would be.
Trash to him? No,
yeah.
I would never talk trash.
Come
to him.
On,
never.
You got to talk trash to Bo. He loves that.
No, he'll give it right back to you.
Oh, of course he will.
No, he's a good dude.
From spring training, you know, a couple of years ago, your first spring training to now, right? And like getting comfortable in a clubhouse. I always find it fascinating when you have big personalities, when you got big superstar like guys in that clubhouse. I'll tell you mine. It's a little intimidating when you have Barry Bonds in your clubhouse, right? You just, you're trying to figure it out. You're like, damn, there he is, you know? And then you got Bryce.
Yeah.
Not saying they're on, you know, Bryce has hit that Bonds level, but actually in superstardom around the world, he might have. So you walk in and the way that he's accepted you, how's that been?
Well, I feel like with people like that, you you grow up watching them and you want to be them, and then you get in here, you get in the same locker room with them in the clubhouse with them, and you want to, you know, you're a rookie and you want to stand your ground and you want to do everything right and, you know, not get anybody's way, but you also want to see what he's doing and see why he is the way he is and how he's had so much success over his career, and you want to pick up on the things he does and just kind of follow in his footsteps. I mean, it's just awesome having a dude like that in the locker room. He's
oh, no doubt.
A great dude.
No doubt. And especially one that, you know, at some point is going to pay for a meal or two. So you got to just stay close. Stay close. Bryce will take care of you. You know, who were growing up in, you grew up in Illinois, right?
Yeah.
Cubs fan, White Sox fan. Cardinals
fan. Actually,
I was about. I was a Cardinal fan. I didn't want to go there. I didn't know. Who was your favorite growing up? Who was your favorite player?
I was a big Derek Jeter fan growing up, though.
Oh, all right,
not a Cardinal, but
if you had one Cardinal,
I mean, I grew up when Albert Pujols was going crazy, so I mean, he would probably be my favorite. He was absolutely unreal.
I asked that because, and obviously Albert, you never know. I was I was hoping it was like Yachty or someone like that. I was like, man, the guy's still playing. Like you're in the big leagues. Have you been able to sit back today and just be like, I'm in the big leagues here. My favorite players growing up, you know, that I've seen, there's a few that are still playing. Like Albert Pujols is still playing. You're in the same league. You are at the same level as him because you are that good. Have you realized that yet?
I don't know if it's really sunk in. I mean, Joe pulled me aside that he said just on my debut, he's like, just step aside, take a few seconds and just realize like everyone who's helped you to get to this point, how hard you've worked to get to this point. But as far as that, I mean, I just really hadn't really sunk in yet, but I mean, it's definitely a cool feeling.
What I love is that you have a brother that plays in the big leagues in Phil. And I was like, I think it was Scott Fransky. I don't know if you've had a chance. He's the play-by-play guy on the radio side. He and I were talking about it either last spring or something. We're like, Maton. I was like, oh, that's cool. He goes, yeah, I swear that he has to have a brother that's in the big leagues. You know, we just saw him, and it was like, wait a minute, it is. And not only that, you're the second set of brothers on this team that are in the big leagues with Austin and Aaron Nola and yourself and Phil. What does it mean for you to share that distinction, not only with your teammate, but just with your brother?
I think it's really cool. I mean, I've always grown up just watching what he does, and you know, always tried to be like him. And now that we can both be playing at this level, it's cool stuff.
Reading up on some of the stuff that Matt Gelb had written about you and Phil talking about how, you know, being postponed or delayed on Monday night, he was able to watch you, and it just like so. I don't know. It's hard to describe because I have a brother. I had a brother. He passed away years ago. And I remember, you know, he lived vicariously through me. He was older. And I could just, I could sense it through Phil. Like he's like, you kind of get the Gosman front hip sinker on one of your first, I think it was your first at bat. He just started laughing and he's talking about that. I'm like, that's the same thing my brother would say. Would just be laughing. Like, didn't expect this. But I mean, like, you share something now, you know, like as a younger brother trying to attain what your older brother gets to do. Gratifying?
Yeah, it definitely is. Because, I mean, like when he's been up there for a little bit now, and I love just every single night just checking in to see how he's doing, see what he's doing. And I mean, he was super, super excited when I told him that I'm coming up, and I'm sure he'll do the same thing. I mean, it's just cool thing going. I mean, I got a younger brother too.
He's at Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, he got drafted out of high school too, and that'd be crazy if he could get up here too.
Well, I mean, it'd be awesome if like he does it soon. So I mean, like, you know, old man Phil, he's not retired by then, right?
Yeah,
you gotta like at least talk a little smack about your brother.
Yeah, old man Phil. What a guy.
But I mean, like, okay, so first thing you get up in the big leagues, do you check to see if we were playing, the Phillies were playing the Indians at all, or are you new?
I think I actually I don't think I did, but I think one of my family members did. I knew we don't play them, do we? I'm
no,
pretty sure we
no,
don't.
No. But I mean, like, that would be like the first thing I would check out. I'd be like, when do we go there?
Yeah, no, I would talk so much smack.
Oh,
you got to face him and got a hit on him.
But see, that's the thing is that, like, the first thing that came to my mind when you got up here, I was like, are they playing Cleveland? Because if Phil and Nick get to face off before Aaron and Austin, like, I don't know if I'm going to be disappointed, but I think it's going to be one of those moments where you're just like, ha-ha. Because Aaron and Austin, I've been playing this up for a couple of years now. And when Austin gets healthy and catching for the Padres again, when you guys go there, that's going to be unbelievable. I'm hoping Aaron buzzes him. That's all I care for. And I hope you shoot Phil when you get a chance to do it, you know?
Yeah, no, it'll be definitely a cool feeling to share the same field as him.
So this trip is your first one as a big leaguer. We're going to get into your first big league game in just a second, but as a big leaguer, there's more amenities that you're now accustomed to, I guess. You're accustomed because it's your first one, and you're like, I want this all the time. First trip, what's it been like in your one day on the road?
It's just, I mean, you can't really prepare for it. I mean, it's just pretty cool. I mean, everything's just at your service, and I mean, you're pretty much just, you don't really have to worry about anything. Let's put it that way.
Plane flight was just fine for you?
Oh yeah.
Did you have to do
anything
on the flight?
I've been on one of those things before though. So
but like as a rookie now, like full on rookie. Like, this is, you could say that you've been on one, but not as the rookie, right? So not as,
true.
You know, where you and Mickey are, you know, carrying around stuff for people. Did you accomplish everything, all your goal?
You already know it. I was hauling everything. Oh,
right?
My gosh.
Nice.
I think I was
done.
taking Harper's Xbox to his room and his TV and everything. Like, oh my gosh.
Well, tell him Franny says that the next time you take it to his room, just have him order you one. With his logo on it. Like, it doesn't matter if it's his logo or not. Like, they're sick. He's unbelievable at doing that stuff. So just be like, hey, man, you know, haven't got my meal money yet. I was just wondering, maybe paycheck. Can you lend me one? Maybe buy me one? I don't know. See if it works.
Yeah, maybe one of these days.
But, I mean, that's a part of it, right? I mean, you haven't had to do these things in minor league baseball. It's all been on the equal, right, as everyone. And now you get to the big leagues, and it's not going to be like a whole lot of stuff that you're ever going to have to do. But, like, I loved it. I loved knowing that I had to, you know, for our time, it was carrying every beer possible off the plane. Do you savor these moments right now, like early on, everything that you're doing, or are you pretty locked in at – you know, job at hand, knowing that you're in the big leagues, you want to stay here, you're going to do everything possible to do it. And whether it's that or not, you're just living it up.
Well, I mean, I am living it up, but I mean, I know there's, I mean, I want to stay here. I mean, I got to keep on playing well. I got to keep doing what I have to do and put all the work in. I mean, it's even harder to stay here than it is just getting up here. I mean, it's tough stuff, but as far as, I mean, it's, you got to cherish every moment. I mean, you can't really look past the cool things that you're getting to do. You gotta be able to live it up.
Now, did Phil tell you anything? Like, did he give you any heads up, like, hey man, you need to do this and this, just to make sure?
Not really. He's just,
see, that's older brother status right there. Older brother's gonna make you, like, just, he's not gonna let you in on all the details. That is,
yeah, he's just, be ready for the plane trip, he said. Like, be ready for the bus ride back to the hotel, be ready for all that. I'm like, oh, you, hey, be quiet over there. Come on.
Well, at least you got Denver. Denver's your first one, so that's not bad. Mine was Milwaukee. I'm not going to say Milwaukee was that great. but at the same time, you look at where you guys are headed after. And I was asking the favorite player, favorite team growing up, because where do you guys go after Denver?
St. Louis.
It, what does that mean to you? I mean, whether or not you're from there, well, you're not, but that was your team. Like, does it add anything to it?
I mean, I went to countless numbers of games growing up there. They're like it's like an hour away from where I live, and it's just going to be crazy.
It's a badass ballpark too.
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. But I mean, it's going to be cool playing on the field that I grew up going to games on, watching games and seeing postseason games, and just it's going to be crazy.
Now, the question, not knowing what the regulations are for the Cardinals in the state of Missouri and all that stuff, do you know, will family be able to go?
Yeah, I'm assuming family will be able to go right now. I mean, I haven't really talked about in depth with people I think I need to talk to, but,
it might be like, hey, if there's a possibility I'm still here, which, okay, let's just get that out there. You're there. All right. Just kind of throw it to, you know, Jameson and be like, hey, what do I need to do? You might want to get on this. You know, that's kind of important.
Yeah.
You have a big deal.
Might need to figure that out.
Going to your first game and, you know, you get, I don't even know, like, what is the biggest memory? Is it going into the locker room, in the clubhouse, seeing number 29? Was it going on the field for the first time for BP? Was it your first at bat? What is, like, the grandest memory?
I think my favorite was one of the cool ones was seeing my number getting out of old 67, because I had a tough little process with my number, because last in 2020 I was 67. I had all my stuff, like all my shoes at 67 on and everything, and like, and then like a day before spring training we signed somebody, and he had big league time, so he got 67, and I went from having a locker on the outside of the locker room to middle locker with number 90 in it. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Went from, and I get the highest number on the team. So there's that. But then
you have the number that was passed around through all the other guys. You know, that's great.
Yeah, but then, like seeing 29 was pretty sick. I like that. But as far as coolest moment, I think was getting up to the plate and hearing all the fans. I mean, it's pretty unreal. You can't really prepare for anything like that.
And dude, your first at bat, you don't even swing at the first pitch. What the hell were you thinking?
I don't know. It was a good take. I was like, oh my gosh.
I've never heard anyone say that was a good take. And to be honest with you, I locked up so bad on my first at bat that I honestly, I had no swing. But people are like, how didn't she swing? I was like, I didn't remember anything.
Yeah, that guy, good Lord, that guy's splitter was unreal.
But and the fact is, like, they knew it, too. So you took that first pitch split, and you're going, mm-hmm, my bad, right? And you're locked in then, right? I mean, it just feels.
Yeah. I won't give myself that much credit. It was a fastball. It wasn't a splitter.
Was it a split? I thought it was a split.
I wouldn't have taken that first pitch splitter.
Oh, you've been swinging over the top. But anyway, you get Kevin Gausman. You know that basically it's two pitches. That's all you're going to see. I mean, it's fastball split. He'll throw the random slider. He'll throw the random changeup. But you're like, you're so dialed in on all the stuff, and you lock up the first pitch, and you're like, great take. What's going through your mind on that?
No, it's like, oh, you saw that pretty well. Like, get the next one. Don't miss it.
And then you get your first knock, a couple of bats into it. What do you remember about that?
Well, I remember, actually, after I got the hit, I was talking to one of the umpires, and he was like, yeah, don't take those for granted, man. You're going to line out a lot. And then my next at bat, I just squared one up right at Crawford. I'm like, that.
Yeah, you picked the wrong dude to go at. You know he's got gold.
Yeah.
You could have picked Estella at second. You've been just fine. You know?
Yeah.
And when you, I don't know, it's just how many text messages, like I love this. This is my favorite part about like doing our job now, but it was my favorite part playing was when guys made their debuts. And you come in, you're like, how many text messages you get?
Well, I can't even put a number. Like, there's still messages in there. I just haven't responded to anybody. I'm trying to take the off day to respond to everybody.
Dude, that's what I'm talking about. I had a Motorola like flip phone, so my thing stopped at like a 250. So we're good.
Yeah.
iPhones, yeah, they just continue on.
It's unbelievable. But it's like, and then like not even counting social media and everything.
Oh, that's right. Now, I mean, like followers. Did you check followers? Did you get like 1,000, 2,000? 10,000 more followers?
I don't even know. Like it's unbelievable. I can't even answer everything. Can't even look through everything.
if I have advice for a young player, it's just don't care about the likes. Play ball. Some people get wrapped up in the likes, and you know, it's just not in the mentions. It's not all that great all the time.
Oh, definitely didn't
show
either.
Hey, you know, and Nick, talking about like you know your first couple games and just not only how well you play, but just what you how you handle yourself defensively. You get to yesterday, three knocks, one that I still think should be a triple. You know, an RBI, and you're looking at it. You're going like, did you come in and be like, Joe, man, I want that triple? Did you say that at all?
No, I didn't say anything.
Why not? Did you think it? You thought it, right?
Well, I thought it was gonna be one, but then I looked up and I don't remember any other errors on their team. So I was like, dang, they did me like that,
right? Yeah. and so like just in general, just being able to be a huge part of what went on as far as the comeback or being up, they came back and you guys had to come back, but you're a huge part of that. What do you take out of it? Like just in general, the first three games, you got to see a lot of, I'm not going to say weirdness, but you got to see a lot of what's happened over the last year and a half.
Yeah. I think it's just cool to be able to contribute. I mean, it's one thing being here and it's another thing to actually be here and be a part and actually help them do stuff. I mean, it's just a good time playing with these guys.
Did you think that Bryce killed somebody in the outfield yesterday on that homer?
Yeah, man,
I thought it went through the guy.
That dude's a different animal, man. He is unreal.
Like, right unreal. When he hit it, I mean, you have to be thinking to yourself, like, dang, that, holy cow. Like,
it's just good stuff, man. He just, and his takes, too. He just doesn't even flinch on some pitches. It's just unreal. It's like, how do you do that, man? Teach me.
All right, I got a couple trivia questions here for you. It's about your number. You know, do you like, you know, uniform numbers? You know, like what they mean or whatnot? Like who's worn them?
I'm probably not going to be the best at this, but
all right, I'm gonna test you out. You gotta at least figure it out here. I always like to look. I always like to know who wore my number when I played here. And or anywhere, wherever it may be. And so I'm gonna see if you knew any of these guys. Did you know that Chuck Klein wore your number?
No, I did not.
He's an all-time great, Phil.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Darren Dalton wore 29.
I didn't know that one either.
All right. Did you know that John Kruk wore it from 91 to 94?
I did know that. I knew that one.
All right. Jimmy Rollins wore
that's number. That's the one I was going to. I knew that one. He wore that when he debuted, didn't he?
Yes, he did. The great Gary Maddux wore it.
I didn't know that one.
And you had a couple other guys. Raul Ibanez wore 29.
Really?
So when I say that, like I just like to hear your just what the way you were spotted right there was perfect. Because those are Philly's greats that came through here and you're wearing that same number. What does that mean?
It's just, I mean, it's cool stuff to be able to like carry on the tradition. I mean, like put on that jersey and realize how many people have worn it and been in this game for this organization. And it's just surreal to be able to continue it on.
I'm going to try to find Cleveland because I think your brother, does he wear like 88 or something like that?
88. He got 88 in his first spring training and never got rid of it.
Well, see, that's okay. I mean, most people want to go lower, but I mean, I understand. I totally get it. I was 82, 80, 82 and 79. Those are my two first numbers in camp. I could not wait to get something lower.
Yeah.
But I mean, like that, when you see those names like John Kruk and Jimmy Rollins and Darren Dalton, like Dutch wore that number. Ah, man, that gives me like goosebumps thinking about the number that you wore. I wore 28. You know, next great one to wear it was Alec Bohm. I mean, it's cool. You know?
Yeah, it's cool stuff. It's crazy stuff.
Any, you know, when you look at people throughout the Phillies organization that's helped you get to this point, and not only that, you could go back to college, high school, whatever, but when you look in the Phillies organization, who do you look at and say, you know, like truly a huge thank you to?
I think one of the biggest ones is Marty Malloy. I mean, he's my manager in low A and high A, and now he's the infield coordinator, and he's done a lot of work with me. I mean, he's worked with me a ton. He's always believed in me, and he's just a good dude, solid guy.
What about Peace? Is Peace a part of it? Andy Abad? You know that he'll challenge me to say Peace during a game. Like, dude, nice Peace. There we go. Yeah.
No, he's a good, I mean, he's always around. He's always cracking jokes. He's always messing with people, but I'm not an outfielder, sadly, so I don't really get to work with him too much.
Yeah, he's the man, though. So I always got to throw him out there. But all right, so Phil Maton, 2019 and 221, he's worn 88. Josh Altman wore 88, and Rene Gonzalez for the Indians has worn 88. That's really not a cool list. That didn't give me goosebumps at all. So you could tell him that. I mean, there's, I think, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 guys in Major League history. 16 guys have worn 88.
Really? That's it?
That's it. That's it. My favorite college player of all time went to Stanford. His name was Paul Carey. Played for the Baltimore Orioles for like a season. He wore 88. Kyle Blanks, probably the largest 88 to be out there. He was probably like almost twice the size of Aaron Judge, like height and weight. So you got that. And Albert Bell wore it. So he's in good company. I mean, it's just not that cool.
Hey, you just want to be separate from everybody.
I know. Little brother got 29, and that's going to do it. So, Nick, I appreciate you coming on Pie Talk for Breakfast, and I cannot wait to watch you in the series upcoming, the next series after that, and however it may take you, enjoy.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy. Just awesome having Nick Maton join me right here on Pie Talk for Breakfast. The kid has a quality about him that is it's pretty awesome. You can't pinpoint it. You know why? Because it might be the it factor, but it's something there that is the confidence that he shows, his ability in the field, and being able to play shortstop at it. You know, we saw Scott Kingery do it a couple years ago, who had never really had done it, but he had worked, and made himself into a shortstop. Does that mean this is long-term for Nick? No, but having that ability to have a not only a good utility, a great utility player, let alone have the opportunity to win a job, to do something during this time, with the unknown of how long Gene Segura will be out, this is fantastic for Nick Maton, his family, his career. And so let's just enjoy it and hope that he continues to play the way he is, the way he's been playing, and just bringing that energy that he has shown. And it's been great. So another episode of Pine Tar for Breakfast. I am absolutely honored that you have chosen this one, listened to it, responded to it, and hit me up on Twitter at Kevin Franzen. Till next time. Peace.
Kevin Franzen
is out of here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.